Now, to show our gratitude, we're not going to be like the other guys and jerk you around and bullshit you. We're going to tell you the truth.
Shane Douglas is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
Queen of Extreme Francine.
And the franchise Shane Douglas. Well, you want the lowdown on professional wrestling, get it right here at this podcast, Extreme Three-Way Dance.
I hate the world today. You're so good to me, I know, but I can't change. Tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath, innocent and sweet. Yesterday I cried. You must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused. I don't envy you. I'm a little bit of everything. I'll roll into one. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your help. I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between. You know you're.
What's up, Connected? Welcome to this Extreme and Oswald Ball Violent to Live Experience here on the Extreme Three-Way Dance. JT, Jay, and Matt take you through the history of ECW, started February 1994, matriculated our way here into April, May of 1999. It's been quite the journey, just like everything North South Connection. We have so much good content for you. Subscribe here. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on the podcast application, this show is simulcast on both, like much of our programming is. We also have a lot of content that's exclusive, so just do both. Don't miss any of it. You'll be caught up on everything. We do deep dives on wrestling history like this. We do current wrestling previews and tier lists and all kinds of shit. Check it out. We promise to be entertained. We promise we'll fill your days. Share us, subscribe, give us some comments and some love. We do some short content on TikTok as well. So just get it on it. We'd appreciate it. We'll continue to bring you to the extreme. All right, folks, we have 4 weeks of ECW TV here tonight. Any thoughts or feelings or vibes before we head in?
The vibes are extreme, as they always are.
Extreme vibes, right.
Okay. All right, we're going to start off with the April 24th, 1999 edition of ECW Television. We open with a clip of Sabu, who's backstage. Paulie Dangerously says, by the end of the show, the lives of Sabu, Rob Van Dam, the Dudley Boys, Justin Credible, and Lance Storm will change dramatically.
Wow.
So we'll see what that means when we get there. So then have our opening animation. I can't do Vince anymore, so I gotta play the
Dario. You gotta get it out somewhere, yeah.
I think I'll Vince Russo. Joey's in the nest. He says, this is a post-event wrap-up from the Burt. Of course, that's the Burt Flickinger in Buffalo. The State Athletic Commission has confiscated all the footage from the main event, and that may be ramifications for Sabu because they could suspend his license, and that would hold up in other states as well. They're working to get the footage back as we go along, but since we don't have the footage for the main event, we are going to have footage of our next match. And of course, to kick things off, just like our last episode. Time for our Italian culture lesson of the week. And similar to last episode, I thought it would be interesting to do a song again here tonight. It's a very famous song by an Italian singer that you may have heard before.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
Do you know the song by that intro?
No.
Any guesses? You're going to know it as soon as I hit play, but any guesses?
Who Shot You by Biggie.
There you go.
Aw.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
All right, Jennifer, who sings it?
I don't know who sings this.
Oh, my Lord. Matt?
Dean Martin.
Yes, the legendary Dino himself.
You just made that up.
53, this song was composed and became a signature song and major hit for Dino. Recorded released that year. Of course, Amore means
love.
The song was played in the 1987 film Moonstruck, as well as 1995's Grumpier Old Men and 1999's Stuart Little.
Oh, wow.
Of course, on the Mice Fall in Love. The song first appeared in the soundtrack of the Martin Lewis comedy film The Caddy, released by Paramount Pictures in August of 1953. Lewis commissioned Warren and Brooks to write songs to Martin to sing in the movie. According to Lewis, he personally paid them $30,000 secretly in the hope this could be a hit for Martin. In the film, the song is performed mainly by Martin, with Lewis joining in and other characters in the show also following. Received a nomination for the Academy Award for Best Original Song that year, but lost to, Jenny, as a old movie connoisseur, do you happen to know what the best original song from a feature film was in 1953?
Oh, Jesus Christ. No.
Secret Love from Calamity Jane, starring closely identified with Dino. That's Amore uses the title for 2001 video retrospective of his career. His son Richie Martin titled the 2002 biography That's Amore, A Son Remembers Dean Martin. It's an iconic song. Track was used for the single release by Capitol Records for recorded on August 13th, 1953. So there you go. That's Amore.
Now,
did he do another song that was called That's Alesse, an opposite of That's Amore?
Yeah, it depends on how much love he had in the moment.
Yeah, I see.
Alesse. I mean, was this song in your house a lot growing up? Was it just on a lot?
No. More like my grandparents. Mm.
No,
my parents were more, I mean, I don't know what, so obviously grew up mainly in the 80s and 90s. My mom was more like soft rock and like Cher. Mm. And then my dad was more like Motown. Mm. But he liked like the big band stuff too. He just didn't play as much of it. It was mainly a lot of like oldies from him. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother had like an extensive kind of old record collection with stuff like Dean Martin and Sinatra and my favorite Herb Alpert, the Tijuana Brass, which I have that album somewhere I took from her. Of course, I mean, any wedding or party you would go to, I mean, yes, you get Martin and Sinatra and all that shit, of course. It all holds up. It's all great. Joey's in the nest. We talked about that. We are in the ring. The FBI come out. Guido and Big Sal are all love. Their smiles. Joey says, unlike past versions, this FBI is actually Italian. Of course, the Big Sal Boski is billed at 603 pounds as he comes out. Big boy.
Joey says 600 pounds.
I'll say this. For 600 pounds, if that's legit or not.
It does like, not look legit.
I don't think Sal looks that fat. Like, he's fucking dude. Like, he's just tall. And he's fat, but he's not like, you know. Like, Bastion Booger to me is like fatter, and he's like half his size. You know, it's like he's not like I wouldn't consider him like one of the fattest dudes in wrestling. Like,
no,
he's
just
like
I big wouldn't either. Guy.
Right.
There's no way he weighs 600 pounds.
No.
He doesn't. He weighs 603. Don't forget the 3.
400, I believe.
400, yeah.
All right. Axel and Balls, they bang out. They got chairs in hand. We get a late breaking news graphics about Sabu and the State Athletic Commission. After a bunch of stalling and slurs in the crowd, we get going with Axel and Guido. Guido really slow rolls this, Jenny. You talked about this on our last episode. He's bailing out. Yep. He's barking with the fans. Axel tries to engage. He finally lands a few punches. He gets a low blow. We get a "We Want Balls" chant, don't we all, for this very hot crowd. We get some quick chain sequences from Axel and Guido into the Balls tag and a big leg drop. Too long, Balls waits to land a punch. So Guido counters and escapes to tag Sal. Was a new one. I expected more reaction. Gets fat fuck chance right away. Sal shoves Balls into the corner on a lockup, plants it with a shoulder block. Balls bounces up, walks into a sidewalk slam by Sal. A lot of impact on that. Sal scoops Balls with his hands, slams him down, tags Guido, who who starts to work the arm. Guido eats a boot on a charge, grabs the arm. He cranks Balls to the mat. He's battering him. Sal tags in. He slams Balls hard to the mat. Tags in. Guido wants to bang Balls with a rocket launcher, but Balls dodges it. Sal stomps Balls, and Guido stays in control, works a chin lock. Balls dips a clothesline, gets a sit-back suplex. Axel gets a tag. He cleans house. Balls smacks Guido with the Nutcracker Sweep, and him and Axel light up Sal with two nasty chair shots and pick up the win. And then they grab a fan sign about wanting the belts. Fine match here. It was carried by the heat, mostly basic and the jokes. Sal looks good in brief spots, but I think he's better as a muscle. If we want to have tag stuff, maybe get another worker with Guido. I like him better at ringside, eating cannolis and doing crazy shit. Pretty abrupt finish. That last chair shot to Sal was disgusting. Yeah. You know, beyond the usual stuff, Ball is on Axel's, you know, still trying to get the gold. So Jenny went 2.25. It's fine.
Well, I like Balls and Axel a little bit more than most people do. So I did 2.5 here. I like this. The crowd was fucking crazy hot for this. I was shocked. It seemed like not many people in the building, but then they were loud as hell. So I don't know. Maybe it was just dark and I couldn't see everybody. I really like the spot where Guido gets on Sal's shoulders and jumps from there. That was really cool. So sweet little opener, Maddie.
Yeah, I went 2 stars on this. I thought everything in this match took fucking forever to get going. Like, I get the crowd posturing and all that, but holy Moses, do something. Good Lord. I mean, once it got going, it was good, but it just took fucking forever to get there. The chair shots were nasty, but I mean, it felt very much like the opening match of this house show, wherever it was to me. So I went 2 stars on it.
All right, we get highlights from last week with the Candido, Taz, Carino stuff. Joey's in the nest. He talks about last week where Taz tried to end Candido's career and is still waiting on the footage from the main event here tonight. Back to the ring we go as Taka Michinoku is here. He taking on Poppy Chulo. So Taka returning. This is from CyberSlam. Poppy Chulo is making his debut. Taka is in and out. And of course, this is actually a rematch, Matt, from a WrestleMania.
Oh.
Wait, what?
WrestleMania 14, when Poppy Chulo, under the name is Aguila. Taka Michinoku.
Oh.
So here we go. Taka is back. Well, we haven't seen him since 97 in ECW. Obviously on loan from the WWF, and it's a good fit. Another guy that could really mix up with this upper mid-card we've been talking about in recent episodes. We clip to Taka. He's battering Poppy with chops. Poppy kicks back, gets a springboard arm drag, spin heel kick. Poppy chops, gets some more, slams Taka, misses a 450. Taka goes up. Poppy crotches him, takes him down with a Rana. Clip to Taka hitting a tornado DDT for 2. Clubbing away, Poppy dumps him outside on a charge. Taka blocks a plancha with a hard forearm. Taka goes up top. Poppy meets him with a drop kick. Clip to Poppy, countering a tornado DDT, hits a missile dropkick that sends Taka to the floor. Poppy flies into him with a somersault plancha over the post to a pop. We clip to Taka hitting a hard running kick and missile dropkick to the back of the head. We then go to Taka missing a moonsault. Poppy loads a powerbomb. Taka floats out and counters a Rana with a powerbomb, hits a Michinoku driver, and picks up the win. This is clipped, but it's really fun. Taka's still rocking it. I thought Poppy looked good too. Keep adding bodies here to load the card up with some hard, fast-paced action. The biggest upset for me is that I didn't say Takis when I said Taka and Poppy. So and I will say, Matt, Poppy was not very sloppy, as some may say.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
3 stars for me here.
Wow. You've been sitting on that one for a while. 2.75 for me. You could tell that they knew each other very well now that you mentioned that they wrestled each other at WrestleMania 14. So yeah, it's a fun sprint. It was clipped, but it didn't look like it was clipped all that much. So it's a nice return for Taka. Good to see him back. He's a guy. He's another name to add to this crop of talent with your super crazies and your Tajiris. So I'd like to see him mix it up with those guys. So yeah, this was really fun stuff. I always love the Michinoku driver. It's a sick looking move. So fun sprint, 2.75 for me, Jenny.
Is the driver named for him?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, I figured it was something.
It's like just
that.
Like Lou Gehrig's disease.
I can't believe Lou Gehrig's disease.
I've always said that.
Fucking shit luck.
Is he the first one to do that move, or just the one that is the best at it, or?
I don't know, honestly.
I'm just curious.
I'm guessing he probably was maybe innovated it.
I would, yeah.
I'm sure there are versions of it. It's like people used to do a DDT before it was called the DDT when Jake started doing it.
Right.
It might have been a move that had been done, but not like a regular arsenal move, maybe.
It's pretty dramatic looking. Nice way to finish the match, but I wish it wasn't as clipped up so I could see more, but they were just really throwing each other around and the pace was outrageous. I thought it was awesome. I did 3 stars.
All right, we get stills from ECW.com where Storm Credible Bitch assaulted Tommy Dreamer and Francine, who got caned from the Burt. Lynn showed up to help, got double teamed by Storm. Incredible, but Crazy made the save, and it led to a tag match where Lynn pinned Credible. The Dudleys came out and said they owed Storm Incredible money, so now they're even. Storm Incredible issue a challenge for the titles, but Fonzie comes out, says they only did that because Sabu is hurt. Storm Incredible press, and RVD shows up to answer the challenge. Storm Incredible then paid the Dudleys to take on Van Damme for the belts. The ref wouldn't allow it. So RVD, after kicking Bubba, ends up in a match with Devon one-on-one. So it was a lot of backstory to get to this match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I needed a cork board and some red yarn to follow
everything. Yeah, I was getting confused.
Going
on. So we
take a break. Joey says the State Athletic Commission is giving them one angle of the footage back, and we refresh what happened. Fonzie had a State Athletic Commission doctor review Sabu's jaw. He wasn't cleared, so Sabu broke free and interfered in the main event, and now his license is being suspended. And this could be an issue nationwide.
Shit.
Yeah. Brings us to our match, and that is Rob Van Dam taking on Devon Dudley. Devon avoids a leapfrog. RVD kicks him down, lands a hard spin kick and a leg drop. Joey says the tag titles are on the line. If Devon wins, the Dudleys will win the titles and hand them over to Storm Incredible. Devon throws RVD to the corner, counters Arana with a powerbomb. Joey says Devon has lost 35 pounds. I will say he did look a lot slimmer. I don't know, 35 feels like a lot, but... Devon stomps away, drops a low elbow, hammers and chokes, avoids a charge, hits a hanging neck breaker off the middle rope. Devon slams RVD, hits a middle rope leg drop. RVD comes back with some kicks and punches, senton for two. RVD counters the DDT to Northern Lights for two. RVD puts a chair on Devon, hits a split-legged moonsault. Bubba hops out of the apron, clotheslines the ref, a new one comes out. Devon hits a slop drop for two, dodges a charge. RVD hits a leaping kick. RVD nails a 5-star frog splash, but Bubba yanks the ref out of the ring and punches him. Devon hits a low blow as a third ref comes out and then hits a big pile driver for two. The crowd is on fire here as they heat up a loud Sabu chant. RVD hits a spin wheel kick and a drop kick and sits Devon on the top rope, pelts him with a Van Damminator thanks to an assist from Fonzie. RVD then covers and Bubba takes out the ref again. He lays into RVD. The Dudleys beat RVD down with a strong double team assault. RVD keeps kicking out. The Dudleys' frustration increases. RVD counters the 3D, gets a Van Damminator on Bubba. RVD goes up top, but Storm crotches him. Devon loads him, and we get a super 3D. Sabu's out. Credible just canes him on the way in. He shows up. The Dudleys win the tag titles to loud heat and bullshit chants after the super 3D. Storm beats on Van Dam as the Dudleys stand tall until Sabu comes back and cleans house, but then Credible canes him and Fonzie. So this is a red hot match. It started slow, but it really got cooking. The heat and atmosphere in Buffalo was crazy. RVD took a real shit kicking. He looked amazing. The Dudleys were lethal and a good finish. The timing was perfect with Sabu breaking free, but it's being a second late to get into the ring. The super 3D looked fantastic. And then the Dudleys double crossing and not handing the titles over was really good too. They walk off with the gold. And I think it was time for RVD and Sabu to lose the belts. They've kind of been hostage with them for a while now. So it's a good move. This is really well executed, elevated due to the heat. And Matt, were you surprised to see RVD? Like, I think this is his first pinfall loss in over a year to come to the Dudleys. But it felt earned. Like, he really took a fucking beating. So it wasn't like he didn't look weak in any way, but I wasn't expecting it for sure. So in 3.25, what'd you think of the match in the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as high on it as you. I went 2.75 on it. And to me, I just think this whole thing was like very confusing. And to me, it just felt very convoluted. Like, you have a singles match for the tag.
They should have done the handicap. They should have
the handicap match. Yeah. That was my thing. Like, just do the handicap match. It would have made a lot more sense. Like, I don't necessarily hate RVD eating the pin here because he did take a shit kicking, but a handicap match to me would have made it make more sense that RVD gets pinned if he's getting the shit kicked out of him by like 2-3 guys at the same time instead of one. I mean, it was it was fine. I did like the finish. The Super 3D looked awesome. That was really good. But it's a weird, and we've seen them switch titles in weird ways before, but this one's like, this is really weird. You're doing a singles match to switch the tag titles. And I know they were kind of in a bind because of the whole Sabu thing going on, but like, just do a handicap match. You know, it would have, to me, that would have made a lot more sense than doing a singles match, or even give RVD like a random partner that he could pick for, you know, just for one night or something like that. So I went 2 3/4 on it. The match itself was pretty good and the finish was great, but yeah, like even Joey, I feel like, was struggling to explain everything at points. So, but yeah, 2 3/4, Jenny.
Yeah, my notes are a mess with this. I was like, wait, yep, what the fuck is happening? very confusing. The Dudleys, they got a lot more offense on RVD than I thought that they would, which makes sense, I guess, since there's two of them. But Bubba was, he was being sly about the way that he was in the match. He wasn't, until the end, he didn't overly get involved, right? He only did when there was a mm-hmm. near fall or something like that. So it's good that he wasn't involved the entire time. And D-Von, they actually worked a really nice match. And I'm not a huge D-Von fan, usually, but I thought he was really good in this. A misstep by RVD, by even agreeing to this match, you know.
Right. Well, his confidence always takes.
He's overconfident, right? Mm-hmm. And it cost him in this. And it kind of shows how much he depends on Sabu for that fucking run-in. And, you know, when Sabu is not 100%, you lose your fucking tag title. So, sorry about it. I ended up really liking it. I don't know how I feel about the title change, though. Maybe I just don't like it because it's the Dudleys.
Right.
So I did 3 stars.
Mm-hmm. All right. Awards time. Best match. I like Taka and Papi Chulo the best.
I did too.
Yep.
Worst match, I'm with the FBI and Rotten Balls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Best moment. I went with the Dudleys winning the tag titles. I mean, that was, you know, a big deal. Again, RVD's first pin in forever. So
it's definitely
a big moment.
It's RVD getting pinned for me.
I'm going to go with Joey's delivery of 600 pounds.
Most 90s, and with the idea of a state athletic commission banning wrestlers nationally.
Yeah.
Rotten was wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. That seemed very
Yes, 90. He was.
All right, stock rising. I want Papi Chulo, Taka Michinoku, RVD, and the Dudleys.
RVD and the Dudleys.
Yeah, they both looked awesome in that match. Mm-hmm. Stockfall, I guess, went Big Sal's brain. Just got completely scrambled.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good. Final grade,
Sabu.
Went...
Sabu yeah. is kind of falling.
Yeah, tough night for Sabu. You
know? Yeah. Besides his jaw falling, he's himself his jaw's falling, too.
All right, final grade, I went 7 out of 10. Very strong episode, but again, kind of below the great threshold.
I'm at a 7.5 on this one.
Yeah, I went 6.5 on it.
All right, let's go to May 1st. We go cold open right in the middle of a match. It's Taka Michinoku versus Jerry Lynn. We're in Queens. Taka shoots Lynn to the railing, flies into him with a springboard plancha. Lynn slowly makes his way back to the ring. Taka's right on top of him with chops and punches. Lynn gets a tilt-a-whirl head scissors, knocks Taka outside, meets him with a baseball slide. Out there, he crotches him on the railing, drop kicks him off the apron, flies into him in the crowd, get a slingshot cross body. Lynn works over Taka's leg until Taka comes back with an enziguri, slugs away. Lynn recovers with a clothesline. Taka gets a boot up on a charge, but Lynn blocks his tornado DDT and throws him to the mat. Taka floats out of a suplex. Lynn switches back to a German. Taka lands on his feet. Lynn counters a Rana with a powerbomb for 2. Lynn hooks a gory special, but Taka slips free, runs into a Lynn tilt-a-whirl for 2. Lynn ends up on the top rope, but Taka takes him down with a Rana for 2. Taka gets a brainbuster, goes up top, comes up empty on a moonsault. Lynn hits a tornado DDT for 2, but Taka dodges the charge and lands a missile dropkick. Lynn slips out of a Michinoku driver, but Taka avoids a tombstone and slaps Lynn. Lynn blocks another Michinoku driver and hits a sick cradle pile driver for the victory. A great match. Lynn is on fire. Taka shows that he can still go. It was a great addition. The crowd is hot in Queens, as always. The pace is awesome. Hard-hitting offense. And again, a snapshot of where we're going in ECW as Lynn rolls to hardcore heaven, Jenny. And with 3.5 stars, an awesome way to open the show.
I had to bump it up to 3.75 stars. I just love this. The crowd, so amazing. Just so all in on Jerry Lynn and Taka, really. Just bomb throwing. Jerry Lynn is insane. He's awesome. He continues to just amaze and wow me at every match. He's really on fire right now, and I can't wait to see him fucking take the fucking TV title from RVD at the pay-per-view. I believe it's going to happen. Maddie?
Yeah, I thought this was really good too. I went 3.25. Just everything both of these guys do, it just looks so fluid. Lynn especially, there's one move, and actually I thought this was going to be the finish, but ended up being a great near fall. Taka misses a moonsault and he hit a tornado DDT.
Just
stuff like that. Like, it just looks so great and so crisp, and goddamn, he's good. Even Taka hit a missile dropkick that was great too. And then the reversals leading to the cradle pile driver. Just a hell of a way to start this episode. Lynn is on a roll here. Another hell of a match under his belt. 3.25 for me.
We cut outside. Cyrus is dragging a cameraman to the parking lot. He wants to talk to Taz. He says he knows from the dojo about Candido. Taz tells Cyrus he's in the wrong place. He gives him directions to the garden. Cyrus says Candido's here, and Taz says he heard. He still works in ECW. Cyrus says he's in a halo, and that gives Taz pause. And he says, that's a shame. Maybe he should have stayed out of my business. Cyrus says he told Candido that, and Taz has no other comments. Taz asks Cyrus if he's ever been choked out, and he will be if he keeps asking dumb questions. Taz says he's all about helping the company. He walks off as Cyrus rambles about talking too much. Again, hard to capture the way this goes about because Cyrus's delivery is very nonchalant, but any quick thoughts on that?
Taz was in like a weird good mood. It was like that weird, that was sarcastic shit that he does, but I was surprised he even had this conversation. It looks like he just got done getting a blowy in the alleyway or something there. He just kind of laid back and kind of off guard the way that was old dude called him there. But yeah, I mean, interesting, different look for Taz.
Cyrus is great at stirring the shit. He's been a great addition. Just all the stuff he's done. Like, let's keep him around and let's have him just keep stirring the pot because he's fucking great at it.
All right, we got our opening animation. Joey's in the ring. He's with the rowdy Queens crowd. Out comes Tammy and Candido. Candido's in the halo. We got clips from the attack last week in Philly. Candido stands at ringside with a mic. Says, although the business and entertaining the asshole fans is his life, he doesn't care about what they have to say right now because he has to face reality of breaking his neck twice. Taz's music hits right away. He stomps to the ring. He says, in New York, they got no respect, to a pop and a very loud New York chant. Candido says, this is not a New York thing. It's a Taz Candido thing. And this is the only way he could get a hold of Taz. He knows deep down, Taz does have respect. And while he won't say he's sorry, he needs to look in Candido's eyes and understand that they started together, worked together for 10 years, and he needs to look at Candido and see what they did. Taz says Candido put himself in a halo when he tried Taz and tried to take New York his title. And if the halo is a work or a shoot, he doesn't care. He asks Candido if he's so hot because he's crippled from the waist down. He can't fuck his whore anymore. And wants Paul to tell him if Candido even works for ECW. Candido tried him in Philly, got hurt, and that is that. Candido says everything in Taz's life is wrestling. He can't separate reality. Taz tells him to shut the fuck up. Says he's tired of talking. Candido's standing up, and Taz is too. And Tammy better fix her look or he'll slap her as well. Candido can get the ring and get thrown and choked out. Candido says if the halo wasn't screwed into his head, he'd be the first guy in there taking stupid bumps. And Candido still does have a job in ECW. Until he can wrestle, him and Tammy are co-managing some talent. And one of them is challenging Taz tonight. Taz says everyone needs to slow down. He doesn't listen to Heyman. Why do you listen to Candido? He'll take out anyone Candido has and will choke them out as well. Out comes Steve Corino with a smirk, and he slowly stalks to the ring. I'm going to pause there. Any thoughts on this first segment of this, Jenny, with Candido, Tammy, and Taz?
Taz just looked like he was completely in his element right here, being in Queens and jawing it up with Chris Candido. So, yeah, I mean, it was tough, and that little dig on Tammy was pretty good.
Yeah, to Jenny's point, you can really see a difference in Taz from when he's in the ECW arena to when he's in Queens. Like, you can see in Queens, he's just lapping all of it up, all the chants and everything. And it's, I like Taz better in Queens, honestly. Like, there's a different vibe to him, and it's a vibe that I like out of Taz a lot more.
All right, well, Steve Carino steps in the ring. Taz is laughing. He says this is a rib. He asks if this is for real. Carino wants to talk and make a name for himself. He can. Carino says he has sat in the back on his ass for an hour thinking of a way to come out here and prove to his fans in Queens how tough he is, because the whole Taz thing is the biggest sham he's ever seen. He thinks Taz and the people of New York are phonies. That gets the Taz is going to kill you chant. Carino asks if Taz brought the fans from his crackhead neighborhood. Taz says the only crack is going to be in Carino's head after he splits it open. Carino says he's in a good mood, and that's why he's going to cut Taz a deal. Carino keeps pointing his finger, and Taz keeps kind of pushing it away. Carino says Taz can put the world title down and walk away, and he won't embarrass him. Taz has 5 seconds to keep his pride, lay down the title, and leave, and Carino will celebrate in New York. Carino counts to five, and Taz just slaps the shit out of him. Candido gets in the ring without the halo, which he's now taken off. He beats Taz down, lays him out with a powerbomb. Carino works over Taz as well. Candido gets a swan dive headbutt. This is fantastic. Well executed. I mean, you kind of knew it was probably a ruse, but I thought Candido dragged it out long enough to make you think, yeah, maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. And they were just going to keep playing up the neck injury. Carino always shows up well where he's talking like this. And just, you know, he's kind of becoming a little bit of a shit stirrer, a guy that wants to make a name for himself, but is kind of in over his head. So he's playing mind games with Taz and using other dudes to get one over. So I don't know, Matt. I thought this was pretty well played. And, you know, we kind of talked about being a little done with Candido, but I don't know. He's kind of been okay in these return segments.
Yeah, I like this overall. The outcome wasn't really in doubt. You kind of knew that Carino was probably going to rip the halo off and beat the hell out of Taz, which, I mean, it doesn't make Taz look the greatest, but you knew it was coming. I thought Carino was awesome here. Like, just everything he's saying, he's been great since he started doing this whole, like, whiny, shit-stirring, like you said on the last episode, Stevie Richards type of gimmick. Like, he's been fantastic at it. And I love how he's still selling the appendix, that both of his appendices have been removed. So that was, I just think he's been, it kind of wants to, makes me want to see Taz Carino too, honestly, along with, right. I mean, we've already seen Taz Candido and it was good, but I want to see Taz Carino now too. Just have Taz, like, just give him 5 minutes on a random episode of Hardcore TV and let Taz fucking destroy him. I think that'll be really fun. So, and the slap that he hit on Carino was just vicious. So yeah, overall, I like this. I mean, it would appear that Taz and Candido is going to continue. So we'll see where that goes. But overall, yeah, I really enjoyed this, Jenny.
I think wrestling is better when you buy into it, right? Like, I was going with Candido and his neck injury. I was going to buy into it and go with it. I wish they had kind of maybe lingered on that neck injury a little bit instead of blowing their load right here. But I thought Carino was really good. Kind of brave jawing it up with Taz. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie, Taz seemed a little I was gonna say amused by it. He seemed a little amused by Carino, which is interesting. I like seeing that side of Taz as well. So this was all really good stuff, and the beatdown was good as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely mixing Taz up a little bit. You know, we've kind of seen the same thing for a while. So I think they try to show a little bit of a different side of him where he can kind of fuck around a little bit and see where this goes.
I like it.
All right, Joey in the Nest talks about what we just saw. We go back to the ring for our next match, which is Nova taking on Little Guido. We join this in progress out of a break. Nova gets a baseball slide into Guido, bangs off of Sal. Nova flies out to follow. Sal catches him and runs him into the apron and clubs away. Back in the ring, Guido gets a leg drop off the middle rope for two, works the arm, throws Nova outside where Sal works him over again. Nova chops away back of the ring. Guido breaks him down and goes to the arm. Guido slams Nova, ties up the ref as Sal comes in and drops a big elbow. Guido hits a splash off the middle rope for two, stomps away, gets two out of back suplex. Nova ducks across body, gets a fireman's carry slam off the middle rope for two. Guido catches Nova on a float over, spikes him down for two. Sal holds Nova in the corner, gets his boot up on a charge, follows the clothesline and hammers away. Sal then charges, but Nova dips and he bangs hard into Guido. Nova takes down Sal with a tornado DDT and wins the match than Emerald Frozen. It was a fun little match. I mean, Sal's, again, it's a great addition to Guido. They work really well together. Nova continues to impress, and both guys kept this at a hot pace, a staple in the newly reworked mid-card. 2.75 for me, Matt. It's just a good match.
Yeah, a good solid match here. I went 2.5. Big win for Nova. Hopefully this leads to a bigger push for him. The elbow that Sal hit was all 603 pounds of him, just crushing Nova. That looked rough. And then Nova comes back near the end of the match and hits him with a fucking DDT. That was super impressive. I really like that. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully this leads to a push for Nova because he's been really good in just about everything we have seen him in. So 2.5 for me, Jenny.
I love Nova. I love seeing Nova. And boy, we've seen little Guido a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
He is sure getting a big push right here. And I would say it's well-deserved. I mean, they work really well together. And there's a lot more to be done here, I think, between these two guys in particular. Like, I'd like another match here. Just because I like watching them. They're, you know, body types are pretty equal. So the pacing was awesome. I like the use of Big Sal here instead of as like a tag team, mm-hmm. you know, more of a sniper getting in there, getting his spots where he can. So I did 2.75 and we're all little Guido marks now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Joey's in the nest. He talks about Candido's plan paying off the pay-per-view world title match against Taz. Joey talks up with Taz and says it'll be a massacre on pay-per-view and he'll prove he's not a gimmick. He'll wipe out Candido. So seems like it's now official for Hardcore Heaven. We're going to get Taz Candido for the ECW title. Not mm-hmm. the most marquee pay-per-view title match, but we'll see how that plays out. Joey then talks about recent issues between Tommy Dreamer and Lance Storm, and that's our next match. Storm and Beulah Bitch hit the ring. Swag on point is always a big grudge match here. Dreamer saunters down, brings out Francine to a pop. Joey says Tommy couldn't wait to Hardcore Heaven to get Storm, so we're going to get it tonight. After a break, we start with a lockup, some back and forth, some stalling and complaining from Storm, who takes a swipe at Francine. She dodges. Tommy rolls him up for two. Beulah ties up Tommy. Storm pelts him with a kick and gets to work with strikes and a drop kick. Storm hits a hard clothesline. He grinds and talks some shit. Outside, Storm crotches Tommy in the railing, shoots him back inside and stomps away. He slams Tommy hard on his back off the middle rope. Beulah hands Storm a chair. He stuffs it in the corner. Tommy comes firing out, knocks Storm outside. Tommy follows out. He grabs a 2-liter of A&W from a fan, dumps it on Storm, and then takes a chug and shoots Storm into the crowd. Tommy hops out after him. He beats him around the arena, knocks him back in the ring. Tommy goes to grab a table, but Storm buries him on the baseball slide, and the table snaps. Storm puts the table in the ring, chokes away at Tommy, misses a charge. Tommy heats up, gets a guillotine elbow. Storm recovers with a Northern Light suplex or two, slugs away some more. Then we get a roll-up, but Tommy kicks free. Storm bangs into the chair. Beulah breaks up the pin. Francine is in with a spear. Tommy loads a pile driver, but Storm takes out the ref, which Tommy ducks. Beulah gets a weak chair shot. Tommy turns to her. Storm smacks him with a chair, drops him on it with a slop drop for two. Tommy counters a suplex, puts Storm through the table with a Spicoli driver for the win. Yeah. Tommy starts to leave. Credible shows up and canes him in the aisle. Credible and the unnamed woman get in the ring. They hand Beulah the cane. She smashes Francine with it. Shane is out in a boot. He's got a fractured ankle, of course. He eats a cane shot from Storm. Storm and Credible leave Tommy, Francine, and Shane laid out yet again. Jason comes in with a cinder block. They put it on Tommy's balls and smash it with a chair. No one loves getting their genitalia smashed like Tommy Dreamer. Fun match here with some great heat and some good stuff with the girls as well. Storm was awesome. Tommy steals the win just like Shane did recently over Credible, like we talked about. This is far from over, though, clearly again. It's a hot feud. Another installment of it here in a hot setting. Jenny went 3.25 on the match. Again, I think it exceeded expectations. Tommy gets to win, and the post-match is pretty wild.
It did. It did exceed expectations. But Fran looked real good. She was, this is an elite look for her. She really brings it in Queens, much like Taz. This is very hate-filled, which I love. You can feel just how much they all just want to fucking murder each other, so I really like that in this match. And I really liked Tommy Dreamer winning this match. I like the finish. I like the way he won. And I just get real tired of like the same formula at the end. You know, interesting match, good finish, beat down on the winner. You know, we've kind of done this over and over again. So I would I don't know what I want to see. Maybe just something not where Tommy Dreamer gets his balls crushed. So maybe next time, Tommy. 3.25, Matt.
Yeah, so I went a little bit lower on this, and it was really only because I kind of wanted this match to be a little bit longer. It was a pretty quick brawl, so I only went 2.75 on it, but I did enjoy it for what it was. Bitch with the weakest chair shot in history, like a sub Gerald Briscoe at Survivor Series 98 level, but I'm guessing this one was by design, unlike that one. So, and I was surprised that Tommy won here. I thought for sure Storm was going to win this, and good lord, the cinder block to the balls. Just don't do that to somebody. That's got to be illegal.
He loves cross shots. Tommy loves the cross shots.
It's got to be illegal in some state somewhere. So, I mean, I did enjoy this probably more than my rating, but I did dock it because it was very short. Like, I think if you give these guys like 15 minutes or so, like, you're talking a really great match. So, but 2.75 for me as is.
All right, we get a break. We come back. We see the carnage being cleared out of the ring. Joey's in the nest. We get the rundown for Hardcore Heaven, which now has Taz versus Chris Candido, Justin Credible versus Shane Douglas, Lance Storm versus Tommy Dreamer, Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam, Taka Michinoku versus Super Crazy, and the Dudley Boys versus Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney in an extreme death match. The Dudleys hit the ring. Bubba is ranting about being the tag champs. Bubba says he's the uncrowned TV champion because he also pinned RVD. But Devon says he's the one that put RVD down. They bicker a bit over that, over who's hotter. And Bubba says Devon may be better looking to get a fat white girl. And Devon says fat chicks need love too. They argue more over who the TV champion is until Fonzie's out. He calls them inbreds, says neither of them beat RVD, and he's going to hit the music. Out comes RVD to roll one up and smoke their asses. RVD hits the ring to a big pop. We fade out, and right before the match gets going. So clearly, you know, we'll see highlights or the match in some form in the future. Any final thoughts on the card for Hardcore Heaven or that final segment, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, the pay-per-view, save for maybe Taz and Candido, it sounds pretty good. So hopefully it'll be good in practice. As for this, RVD coming out to roll up and smoke the Dudleys. That's that sure is a thing that Fonzie said.
Yeah. Bunch of inbreds. They are inbreds, so Fonzie gets it right. I like them arguing over who beat RVD when, you know. Yeah, it just seems like something brothers would do, right?
Yeah. Right. Because they kind of do it tongue-in-cheek, too, but then it's kind of
It's kind of funny, but.
Yeah, you know, it's all right. For Dudley stuff, it was all right.
All right, let's get to our awards for this episode. Best match, I went Lynn and Taka.
Yep.
Yes.
Worst match, Guido and Nova.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, best moment, I went the Taz, Candido, Carino showdown. Those are all pretty good.
Yeah, it has to be that, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
Most 90s, and with Candido's bad neck. Staple of the 90s. Yeah. Rising, I went Lynn, Taka, Cyrus, Carino, Taz.
Tommy. Again, feels like everybody.
Yeah, Tommy was good too. Stock falling though. I did go Tommy's nuts.
That's stock crushing, I think.
Final grade, it was 7.5 out of 10. I mean, another really good episode. Queen's crowd always elevates things as well, which adds to it. So that is a good one.
I did 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I went 7.5 on it.
All right, let's roll on. May 8th, we open with clips from last week's assault by Credible and Storm. We then go to Fort Lauderdale, where Francine is in a bikini on the beach. She tells Storm to tell his slut that she fought the real Beulah, and bitch is no Beulah. In a Hardcore Heaven, she'll show how hardcore she can get. We then get our opening animation. Joey's in the nest, runs down the Hardcore Heaven card. It's what we just reviewed a minute ago. Joey promises that Taz will annihilate Candido, and he promises it will be extreme violence. We go back to Florida. Cyrus the Virus is here. He's in the water. He's wearing a suit. He's also holding a bucket. He tells Carino the water's fine, but Carino's whining. It's too cold. Cyrus brings in the pail and shovel and said he brought Carino to justify having a camera crew with him. Carino's fretting that it's almost bell time, but Cyrus says he has full creative control over his character, and Carino's too, and Paul Heyman said it's fine. Cyrus says he has had a lot of heat with the boys in the past, but he knows what heat is, and Carino's got it, especially with Taz. It's impressive to walk into promotion and go right at the toughest SOB and get him so hot. He's making a name for himself. Carino's shocked to hear about this heat. And Cyrus says, Carino is the mastermind of the Candido attack and has all the real heats for setting him up. Carino rambles nervously, says he wants to be Taz, be big and say, hey, brother, and be world champion. He says, Candido's always been a troublemaker in Smoky Mountain and WWF, and he loves Taz and wants to be his tag partner. And Taz one day will pass on the world title, and it helps Taz checks out. Taz chokes out Candido at the pay-per-view. Cyrus says, in the tradition of ECW managers that manage nobody, he throws it to Jeff Jones and tells Carino it'll be okay. It'll find another job, maybe in Puerto Rico or Memphis. And Carino starts to cry as they leave. So, Matt, this is really good stuff. More Cyrus and Carino. They seem like they're just off in their own world here in ECW. Very different than a lot of stuff we've seen in ECW in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, Cyrus talks all about the heat over and over. And then the line about managers that manage nobody was really funny. That made me laugh.
I love it. I just think these two guys, they're so good together. And just Carino's voice, it has like this whine to it. It's like, it's perfect.
This whole thing is making me upset about having to like Carino.
I know.
It's making me very angry.
I just want to say, yo, brother, and Candido, he's nothing but a troublemaker. It's just, it's so fucking good. Oh, God, it's tremendous. Like, it's just, there's something about it that is, I don't know what it is, but it's working for me. And it's just fantastic, Jenny.
I'm maybe not as high on it as you guys are, but I mean, it was well done. I really like how he didn't even realize he had heat with Taz. Like, yeah. He was upset about it. He's like, no, I love Taz. And it's like, yeah. You realize you were there in the ring with Taz.
But the thing with Carino is it's hard to tell if he's like being serious or if he's still kind of fucking around and like, this is part of the plan. Like it's being done well enough where it could go either way right now. I mean, he could be delusional. Yep. Or he could really be kind of playing along, you know?
Yeah, I like the delusional aspect of it, I think. And I like them having the beach in the background for this, too. Yeah. It added to the surrealism of that whole scene.
Yeah, him in the water with the suit on. It was great.
Yeah, that was great.
All right, Jeff Jones is in the parking lot. He says, Styles may be out of a job, and the court is in order, and his first assignment here is talking to Taz. Taz pulls up, he gets out of his car, he shakes Jones's hand. He says, South Florida's the place to be, acting very jovial. Jones asks about Candido, and Taz says, oh yeah, Candido really gave it to me in my hometown. He jumped me from behind in a hardcore heaven. The title's on the line, and by golly, I'm going to train hard and give Candido a run for his money. And Candido's going to have to kill me. Jones says he thought Taz would be angry. Taz says, everyone thinks he's an angry dickhead, but we're in South Florida. It's beautiful. We got gyms and spray tans and everything's good. Taz says he needs to grab his bag. And as he walks away, of course, he chokes out Jones, tells him to shut the fuck up, basically. Asks him what he feels. He says, tell Candido exactly how you feel right now, because Candido is going to feel it tenfold. Jones begs to be let go, so Taz releases, throws him in the trunk of the car, and walks away. So again, funny approach for Taz. She's mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, real quick on this part, guy, because then he's not done yet. But what did you think of the parking lot?
He's not done yet. He goes on to wreak more havoc, but I really, really like this. Like, I was dying. You know, he kind of bebops out of the car and laid back again, looking like he just got serviced. But anyway, I really like the tone that he speaks to Judge Jones with.
Yes.
Until he absolutely crushes him and throws him in the fucking trunk. It was awesome. I love this for Taz. I love this side of him, and he could rock a fanny pack like nobody else.
Yeah. This was great. A whole lot of denim too on Taz. Jesus Christ. But yeah, this is awesome stuff. Jeff Jones doing backstage interviews. I hope that means they fired that shitbag Stephen Prazak.
Yeah, everybody hopes up.
Good God Almighty, he's terrible. But yeah, Taz was great during this. By golly, I'm gonna give it a hell of an effort. And just so good, just fantastic.
Taz talks right to the ring. Joey says they weren't ready to start yet for the TV taping, and the fans are still filing in. But Taz wants to start it off. He starts talking, but the ring crew, remember Bill Wiles, if you remember him, steps up. He wants to finish the job. He's busy. He's got a lot of things to do to prep for the show. He tells Taz to go rest in the locker room, and he'll knock when it's time for him to come out. Calls him big time.
Yeah.
All right, big time? Taz says, okay, and then he bashes him with the belt. And he wants to know what he thinks about Candido laying him out. He talks, and then he acts like Bill's like a puppet. He's like kind of doing that. Taz talks shit on Candido. He asks why people always try and test him. He's giving Candido notice that at Hardcore Heaven, he's going to kick his ass, choke him out, and put him out of ECW. So red hot segment. I mean, Taz, again, is just on fire.
He really is. And old dude was really good. Like, yeah. Yeah. We'll come knock on this door, okay, big time. Okay, I was like, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Honey. Oh, honey, no, you didn't do that.
Somebody must be new in ECW. You don't call Taz big time. That's just not a thing you do. You're going to die if you do that.
No, I like Taz just playing to this room that's half empty. People are still walking around, mm-hmm. and he's just doing Taz things. It was incredible. Yeah. I was like all about this. This is like way better than the like dramatic Taz with the towel over his head and the darkness and, you know, whatever. That's fine, but I like this a lot more.
Well, it's a good break. I mean, even if he blends both, you know, you're at least kind of getting a little bit of a difference in there.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was different. It was something different. It was a type of thing out of Taz we haven't seen him do. Like, he just, I mean, we've seen him destroy people before, but this was like very different where he's, you know, he's showing a hell of a lot of personality, more than he's had in a while.
And he's beating up on the little guys, right? The ring crew and the fucking, you know, interview guy. So he's really swinging his dick just anywhere he can.
He's going to choke out Faith No More guy next. Watch.
All right, we get a hardcore heaven out of there. We go right back to the ring. We're back in Queens. This is a match between Rob Van Dam and Bubba Ray Dudley. This is kind of teased at the end of last week's episode. The TV title's online. Bubba's all over RVD with strikes. He starts, as Joey reminds us, Sabu's on probation. RVD gets a victory roll for two. Starts to work over Bubba. Brings the heat. Gets a monkey flip. Tries a dropkick, but Bubba goes into a Boston Crab. After a break, Bubba buries RVD with a pile driver on the tag team belt. RVD ducks a charge. Throws Bubba to the floor. RVD kicks him over the railing into the fans, follows with a crossbody off the top to a big pop. RVD shoves Bubba in the ring, slams him, goes up top for a sidekick, strikes away, gets a rolling thunder for a near fall. Bubba sidesteps a charge, gets two on a fallaway slam, nails a heavy elbow off the middle rope. Bubba catches a boot on a charge, ducks a Van Daminator, hits a cutter on a chair for two. RVD blocks Bubba off the middle rope, but Bubba blocks a Rada with a super power bomb, but he can't cover quick enough. RVD kicks out. Bubba gets a chair. He smacks RVD with it. Heads to the middle rope. Misses a senton. He lands on the chair. RVD pops up. Hits a Van Daminator. Hits a 5-star frog splash and picks up the win. Devon gets to the ring. He brawls with RVD. Bubba gets a German on RVD. The crowd is calling for Sabu. Bubba blocks RVD with a sign guy sign. And then they hit a backdrop neckbreaker combo. In comes Lynn to make the save. RVD goes at Lynn. Lynn lays him out with two chair shots. Storm and Credible are in. They attack Lynn. Sabu finally comes out to clean house. He misses a dive into Credible and smashes through a table. The Dudleys wipe out RVD as Storm and Credible take out Lynn. Storm and Credible then get in the ring and brawl with the Dudleys. Sabu recovers. It's a massive dive off the top into everybody in the aisle. And then RVD follows with a somersault senton in a very wild scene. Mm. The match is kind of whatever. It really never felt like it got going. Both felt a little bit off. It is more grounded and slower pace, but the crowd was there. And then the finish, the post-match was wild. RVD rolls to hardcore heaven, gets a clean win. You know, the Dudleys have really kind of had his number here over the last month, Jenny. So in 2¾, that was a fine match. I like the post-match quite a bit.
So the Dudleys in ring separately are starting to win me over, if that makes sense. Because we had that Devon match with RVD that I actually liked. And now Bubba Ray, I thought, looked pretty good in this. Like,
yeah,
better than normal for me in one of these matches. A little bit slower of a pace, but that was fine. RVD kind of matches energies in matches anyway. The Bubba Bomb was really nasty. I like that. I really enjoyed this match, and I got to start taking the Dudleys more seriously, I guess, based on their in-ring work for me. I really am tired of seeing Justin Credible run into matches, so I could have really done that. I'm really just kind of over it. But I really did like the I actually wrote wild scene at the end, just minus Justin Credible. So I did 3 stars.
I went 2¾ on it. It's interesting. Like, part of me wonders if between this match and the singles match with Devon, if they're almost doing like a trial run to maybe get Bubba and Devon involved in some single stuff more often instead of just doing a bunch of tag stuff. Because, I mean, they haven't been doing really much of anything in the tag division. So I almost wonder if these two matches with RVD were almost like a trial run where it's like, all right, RVD's a guy who right now can have a great match with anybody. So you two guys go in there, see if you can have a great match with RVD, and then maybe we'll throw you in some more single stuff. It felt like that to me. And I think this match was pretty good. Bubba got a ton of offense in on RVD, which I thought was really interesting. So, and I did like the post-match a lot, just the chaos of everything. That's some of my favorite ECW stuff is when there's just like 10 people in the ring just throwing bombs and flying around the ring. So I enjoyed that. The match was fine, but I think I do wonder if this is going to lead to more single stuff with the Dudleys. So 2 3/4 for me.
All right, Joey's in the nest. He runs down the pay-per-view card, and then he plugs the ECW Arena show this weekend on the website for updates and photos. Brings us to our main event, and that's Justin Credible taking on Jerry Lynn. Credible's out with Jason and the still unnamed valet. Joey runs through the history of Credible's long summer feud with Jerry Lynn from a year ago. We get an ad for the pay-per-view. We return with Lynn coming to the ring. Credible gets the mic. He talks some shit about how he already dominated Lynn last year and says the winner of tonight's match should really get the pay-per-view title shot against RVD. Lynn says Credible barely won at Heatwave 98, and he's the new effing show, and he'll take him out tonight. Credible starts hot with chops. Lynn fires back, gets a flurry of strikes and a head scissors, followed by a tight kick to the head. Shoots Credible hard to the floor. Lynn follows, shoots Credible to the steel, into the crowd, and meets him with a somersault senton. They head back to the ring, where Lynn snaps Credible across the top rope, spikes him to the apron. Lynn shoots him to the railing, but Jason whips Lynn to Credible and hot shots him on the rail. Back inside, Credible gets two on a sit-out powerbomb, chokes away before hitting a razor's edge for two. Joey talks about Credible's friendship with Scott Hall, how it doesn't help his issues with Shane Douglas. I thought it was a cool tie-in. Credible throws Lynn to outside. Him and Jason set up a table bridge. Lynn avoids it. Credible shoots Lynn to the post. He chops away some more, but Lynn fires back. Back inside, Credible cranks a chin lock. Lynn gets a flash sunset flip for two. Pushes back into things, runs into a sidewalk slam. They battle over an abdominal stretch that ends with Lynn hip-tossing Credible to the table. Bridge in a great spot to a big pop. Jason Kane's Lynn in Credible for a near fall. Credible grabs a chair, sets it up, but Lynn DDTs him on it for two. Lynn gets a sit-out powerbomb, gets a top rope Rana. Jason breaks up the pin. Jazz ties up the ref. Unnamed fella is Jazz. We don't get that for a while. Lynn hits Jason with a slop drop. She comes in, takes some swipes, but Lynn buries her with a tombstone. Credible gets a slop drop for a close near fall. Lynn slips out of the vast Incredible, hits a cradle pile driver, and picks up the win. Storm attacks after the bell. Tammy Lynn bitch, former Tammy Lynn bitch, now Beulah bitch, cheers him on. Tommy comes out, makes a save, runs off Storm, grabs bitch, but Storm recovers and nails him to the clothesline. Beats him down. Bitch slaps Tommy around. Incredible Storm and Bitch swagger away. All right. Pretty fun match. A bit behind their best stuff, I think, from the series, but really good. Especially the bridge bump by Credible. That was nasty. Lynn has leveled up so much. He's becoming a top player and a star. Credible right there with him, too. He's been losing more often lately, which is different for him. A lot of near falls and back and forth into a strong, hot finish. Lynn gets some revenge. He's ready for RVD and a good heat on Storm and Tommy at the end as well. Matt, I went 3 1/4 to wrap up this episode of TV.
Yeah, I went 3.5 on this. I really enjoyed this. I think Credible's at a spot where he's won so much in the past and he's beaten some big names that I feel like he can afford to lose a couple of matches here and there. Right. And it doesn't really hurt him, especially against a guy like Jerry Lynn, who's on a fucking fire right now. So, yeah, another great showcase for Lynn. Like I just said, he's really on fire going into that rematch with RVD. Yeah, just great stuff. I would say, like, sort of like what you said, it's really good. I don't know if it's necessarily on par with some of the stuff they had the summer before, because that stuff was like really great, but still. Right. And this one did have a bit of like a house show feel to it, which isn't necessarily the worst thing, but I mean, 3.5 stars at a house show is nothing to sneeze at. So yeah, another great match here, Jenny.
It was great. I also did the 3.5. And I was glad that Joey reminded me of the history between them two, because it had slipped my mind. But when he started talking about it, I remembered their matches. I think this one holds up. I mean, I don't remember the grades that I gave those other matches, but maybe just not enough time to like get to some of the top tier stuff that they had last summer. But still, this was really interesting match. I really love that cradle pile driver as a finish. I will never get over that move ever in my life. I loved the hip toss that put Justin Credible through the table. Just such a casual move, you know, to crash somebody through a table. Awesome match. And Jerry Lynn is the new fucking show.
Best match, Credible Lynn.
Yep.
Yes.
Worst match, RVD Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
And then best moment, I went that post-match brawl with RVD and Bubba. I really like that, with them diving out into the aisle as the crew was leaving.
Hmm. Yeah, I gotta go with that, but goddamn if Carino isn't close.
Yeah, I was
gonna say. I'm going with putting Judge Jones in the trunk of the car.
Most 90s end with Cyrus mentioning Memphis and Puerto Rico as territory options.
Yeah.
Rising, Cyrus, Carino, Taz, RVD, Lynn.
Yep.
Falling, Bill Wiles and Jeff Jones. Fucking both.
He fell into a trunk.
Final grade. I went 7 out of 10. Another very good episode. We're rolling well here into the pay-per-view.
7.5 for me.
Yeah, I went 7. We're cooking here.
All right. One last episode to get through. May 15th. We cold open in the arena. Chris Chetty is being placed on a stretcher with an injured back and neck. Chris Candido standing nearby. He's upset as Chetty's carried out. Joey explains what happened. He doesn't think Candido hurt Chetty on purpose because he's Taz's cousin. But then as Candido runs over to and attacks Chetty on the stretcher, he kicks the shit out of him. Candido drags him in the ring and pile drives him. Taz's music hits. He stalks out. Candido runs off with Tammy. Taz says he's sick of Candido's ass. If he wants to intimidate Taz and do his blood like that, Candido's just a geek that can't beat Taz on his best day. Taz watches Chetty get carted out. Then he stomps down and beats the shit out of his cousin on a stretcher, hooks a Taz mission on Chetty, and promises to kill Candido.
Wow.
So there you go. I mean, Candido snapped. He tries to send a message, but Taz really doesn't give a shit. He's not fucking around. So they've done it for a match to me on paper that you're kind of like meh on. I thought they've done a pretty good job of building some heat for Taz and Candido in short order.
Taz going back to attack his own family on the stretcher. Was genius. It was genius. Like, that was the perfect move to show how fucking serious he's taken Candido, even though he's been so kind of flippant and blasé and funny.
Yep.
Recently.
They had to do something to juice up the Taz-Candido feud, to your point. Because, like, if you just do that, it's like, oh, it's a sporting contest. Like, nobody wants to really see that. He's already beaten Candido. We knocked him out already. So you had to do something to add to it.
All right, we get our opening animation. Joey's in the ring, sets up the show ahead. He's immediately cut off by Justin Credible, Jason, and the unnamed valet. Credible says he'll never be dishonest with the fans. He has an announcement that'll shock the world. But first, he's going to bring out his partner in crime, Lance Storm. He's out with Beulah Bitch and a piece of paper. Storm says he found the best lawyer in the world from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, which triggers loud USA chants. Credible says Mike Tyson was banned in one state by the Athletic Commission, and once that happened, every other state banned him as well. And this document shows that Sabu can no longer appear and compete in any arena that houses pro wrestling in the United States. Joey pours through the letter quickly as Candido says, because of them, we'll never see the Sandman, Shane Douglas, or Sabu ever again. And that's just incredible. A pretty good opening promo here. This tandem is growing in power and confidence. And Jenny, do you think Shane Douglas is a bit written off with that comment? Or do you think it's just Credible being grandiose?
Yeah,
because he slipped them in there with Sandman and Sabu.
Yeah, that just sounds like, you know, him shit talking. I don't believe Shane's done yet.
All right, what'd you think of the promo?
Fractured ankle now, apparently. Yeah,
he's always hurt.
Yeah,
it
was actually a good promo, you know. I like how Lance Storm got the best lawyer in the world, he couldn't even think of anywhere. But anyway, poor Sabu, though. I mean, what are we going to do now? You know, if he can't wrestle, then what does that leave the RVD of it all?
Yeah, I enjoyed this too. Sabu no longer able to compete in any arena that has wrestling. So we'll see where that goes. Maybe work on getting your fucking jaw reattached before you worry about wrestling again, for Christ's sake.
Rockford, Illinois.
Yeah, and Peoria, whatever East Chicken Screw Midwest state you want to wrestle in.
All right, Joey talks in the nest about Hardcore Heaven coming this weekend, then recaps what we just heard with Sabu being banned nationally. More to come there. To the ring we go as little Guido is back to take on El Mosco de la Merced. Guido rides to the ring on Sal's shoulders, which is just an amazing entrance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ride it to a tailgate someday like that. On wow. Joey says the FBI is comedic in the past, but those days are gone. Guido will take on Tajiri at the pay-per-view this weekend. We see clips of Nova beating Guido in Queens as El Mosco comes out. Guido keeps him on the floor, won't let him in the ring. Sal backs him up. Mosco gets in. We get the usual "you fat fuck" chant. Sal's announced as the leader of the FBI, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if that was just a screw-up by the ring announcer or what, but apparently he's the brains now.
Yeah, I don't know Guido, about all that.
Yeah, I feel like Guido's to the leader. I think that was a screw-up. Guido works the arm, kicks away as we get going, and that transitions to some chain work. Guido bails out. Mosco teases a dive. Guido steps to Mosco, slaps him across the face, drops an elbow in the back. Mosco fires back. Guido gets a roll-up for two. Guido takes him down to a hard arm bar, kicks away some more. Mosco comes back with a tilt-a-whirl head scissors for two. Guido bails out again. Mosco meets with a baseball slide. Guido ends up in a chair in the crowd. Mosco barrels into him with an Ace moonsault to a big pop. Both head back in the ring. Sal trips up Mosco. Guido misses the elbow. Guido bickers with Sal, so Mosco launches off of him. And as Sal, but Sal just clubs him down with a hard punch and then crunches him with a hot shot to the railing. Back inside, Guido gets a leg drop off the middle rope for two. Chops away. We get a flurry of counters into Guido, powerbombing Mosco off the top rope to block a moonsault for two. Guido slams Mosco, ties up the ref as Sal comes in, drops a heavy elbow. Guido gets a big splash off the middle rope for two. Guido peppers away, but he can't, and Mosco gets a headbutt. He tries a springboard dive. Guido crushes him with a lariat for two. Guido gets caught on the middle rope. Mosco gets two. On a sunset flip powerbomb, gets a Rana, knocks Sal down with a springboard dropkick, gets a Northern Light suplex into a bridge for two. Mosco comes off the top. Guido counters into a powerbomb and twists into the Sicilian crab for the win in a super fun match. And as great as much as we love the old FBI, this revised approach is so much well executed and a better use of Guido. I thought Mosco was great here too, flying around, showing great timing, presented strong with the kickouts. And Guido shows he can hang with anyone with that speed, that snap offense, sets him up for the pay-per-view. A really strong outing, Jenny. I went 3 stars for this match.
You went 3 stars. You're really hard for Guido, aren't you?
Yeah. Well,
it's the Italian thing.
It must be. That must be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was just kind of another one of those good Guido matches. Sweet moonsault by Mosco and... I don't know about the finish. I don't know about tapping to the Sicilian crab, but I like this one too. 2 3/4, Matt.
Yeah, I went 2 3/4 on this too. There was a sloppiness to this one. Don't yell at me. A sloppiness to this one that I thought didn't exist. It was a better than the Nova match.
I haven't had pasta fazool in so long.
What'd you call me? Merced got caught. The end was good. I like the end where he got caught with the power bomb and the Sicilian crab ends. How do you cut Sicilian crab with like piano wire or something? 2 3/4.
You don't want to catch Sicilian crabs. You don't want to catch Sicilian crabs.
No, it's the worst kind of crabs I've heard.
All right, we stay in the ring as Tajiri and Taka Michinoku take on Super Crazy and Nova. Tajiri and Taka are out. Joey talks more about Sabu. Crazy and Nova are down. Looks very crisp on paper. Joey says Nova has lost 30 pounds over the last year. Started to grill him on Zoom by the week here with all his weight loss. Fonzie Sabu. It's ridiculous. He keeps saying it. Fonzie Sabu joined for backstage. Fonzie says no one will stop Sabu from coming to the pay-per-view. But RVD says no one can stop Sabu from being at the pay-per-view to watch RVD kick Jerry Lynn's ass. Fonzie issues a threat to Credible for pushing Sabu over the edge and that he'll come to kick Credible's ass. RVD says, is it my turn yet? He says Lynn is coming after him when his partner or friend is banned and no one can watch his back or carry his bags. He's vulnerable. This is Lynn's chance. He's the new effing show, after all. RVD says he will muster up the strength and courage and deliver the excitement that they expect and pay for because he is Mr. Pay-Per-View, the true whole effing show, Matt. Any quick thoughts on that promo before we get to the match?
I just love RVD's whole vibe here of faking being down because of the whole Sabu situation. I thought it was hysterical. I have no one to watch my back and carry my bags anymore now that Sabu's not here. Just, God, so great.
And they randomly put this promo just kind of in the middle of this match. So that was weird.
All right. We join the match in progress. Guido's jumped Nova at ringside. Taka to Jerry double team crazy. Guido puts Nova on a table and Sal smashes him through with an elbow off the apron. Big ouch there. Nova is carted off. The FBI leave as Taka to Jerry bark at them. To Jerry's totally distracted. Taka tries to reel him in as Crazy regroups. Taka finally goes back at Crazy. Tajiri joins him to get more double-team offense until Highway to Hell fires up. Out comes Spike Dudley to even the odds. Spike cleans house until Crazy gets his bearings and helps out. Taka and Tajiri end up outside, and Crazy flips Spike into them. Then Crazy flies out with a springboard plancha. Back inside, Tajiri meets Crazy with a kick. Tries a sunset flip that Crazy blocks, so Tajiri turns it to the tarantula. Tajiri cracks Crazy with a kick. Crazy cuts him off with a tag Spike. Taka meets Spike, who cradles him for a near fall. Taka kicks Spike, throws him outside. We get stereo baseball slides that knock Spike and Crazy into the crowd. We get stereo acai moonsaults that look fantastic. The crowd is fired up. Tajiri throws a cheer at Crazy. He ducks it, meets Taka in the ring. Tajiri batters Spike in the crowd. Crazy gets a springboard dropkick. He hammers away. Taka gets a sit-out powerbomb for two. Taka gets a springboard dropkick. And Crazy walks into two kicks from Tajiri. Taka gets a Michinoku driver and gets the win. This was fun, but it started awkwardly. I don't think it really got hot till the end. All four guys did look good. I like the FBI assault on Nova and then just leaving. Taka and Tajiri work well together, and they're perfect foils for Crazy. So I went 2¾ on this mat. Again, a fine match that had more of a hot ending than anything else.
Yeah, I'm with you. 2¾. I enjoyed this. I thought this was really fun. Big spot for Nova here, being able to mix it up with these guys. So it's good to see him kind of take a step up, being in there with Crazy and Tajiri and Taka. So just fast-paced action. I love the dives into the crowd and the baseball slides. I thought throughout were great. There was a nice power bomb that Taka hit too, and the Michinoku driver again always looks great. So. Really fun match here. I like the idea of Nova being able to mix it up with these guys. Let's keep that going. So 2¾ for me.
All right.
Jenny, you're muted.
Jenny.
I'm muted. I'm having a hot flash. And anyway,
you're right. Or,
yeah, no, I'm just, hot. I mean, like molten hot. Anyway, no, poor Nova didn't really get to do much, though. I mean, he's in with these guys, but he gets pretty much destroyed pretty early. I like Spike Dudley coming out. That was great. And, yeah, the pacing was just really good. I like the matchups here. I did 2¾.
All right. Tommy Dreamer's backstage. He talks about Storm has it all, but he never wants to face Tommy one-on-one. So maybe he's yellow. Especially since he got piss thrown in his face. He wants bitch, too. He calls her Dawn Marie. Now, Beulah says, I can get personal. Tommy calls her a rat. Says, you can ask anyone. Tommy can get any rat he wants. And now he wants Dawn. And Sunday, he will have her. And he'll make her look deep in his eye, put her head between his legs, and kiss her ass. Goodbye. Joey's in the nest. Wonders if Beulah will wear panties. And then runs down hardcore heaven. So we get the full card there. And we find out Balls and Axel, of course, have challenged the ladies ahead of Sunday. Any quick thoughts on that Tommy promo before we get to the main event?
Short and sweet. Normal Tommy stuff.
He called Lance yellow on account of the piss. That was very funny.
Yeah, that was good.
And also, he was wearing a South Park shirt.
Yes, he was. And of course, very 99.
Yeah.
Axel Balls are standing with chairs. Sign guy gets a mic. He says he's held his silence long enough. He's sick of hearing Axel and Balls whine about their title shot because they're not hardcore at Extreme and they're wannabes. There's nothing they can do to make his brothers get to the ring to defend. So Balls just murders Sign Guy with a chair. Bubba and Devon come to ringside. The crowd is egging them on to defend. And the Dudleys lay the belts down. And the bell rings. So I guess Sign Guy was a little bit off in his prognostication there. The Dudleys quite easily will put the titles on the line. And we get that match. Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney versus the Dudley Boys. Joey says they're not going to wait for the pay-per-view. They're going to do it now. Balls uses the belt to beat on Bubba. Devon goes low on Axel. Balls empties fists off Bubba and dumps him outside as Devon batters Axel. Devon drops a leg for two on Bubba and beats Balls with a chair. Devon smacks Axel with a chair as Bubba strokes Balls with punches. Balls is bleeding. Balls starts slugging back as Bubba is staggering around. Devon breaks Sign Guy's sign over Axel as we take a break. We come back. We see that Bubba's put Balls through a table with a superplex for two. Devon fetched a bale of barbed wire. They put gloves on, wrap Balls in the wire, smash him with a chair. We go back live. The champs are working over Axel, but Balls blows a fireball into the scrum. The Dudleys duck, and a flame gets into Axel. Balls twists around into a 3D, and the champs retain. And this really felt like more of a segment than a match. It looks like Balls and Axel may have some problems heading into the pay-per-view. The Dudleys retain. We'll see if they get new challengers or if Axel and Balls will be back at it. So Johnny S went 2 stars. It's kind of a scene, a fight, a segment more so than a match.
Yeah, I did the 2 on it as well. Boy, sign guy really took a chair shot. Poor guy. Yeah, this was just sort of a bunch of clipped up messiness. I did like the barbed wire when it got brought out. That was a good little Rotten Balls special there. So 2 stars for me, Matt.
Yeah, I went 2 stars on it. It was your fairly standard brawling type stuff, what we saw of it anyway. The fire spot was really well done. Just it always looks great, and I think him hitting Axel I think was interesting, so we'll see where that goes. But I mean, outside of that, it really was like it was barely a match, and it was all clipped up. It was mostly a segment, so 2 stars.
All right, Joey hypes the pay-per-view, and he wonders, amongst other questions, if this will be Shane Douglas's final ECW pay-per-view. So that's a chance for him to give it a hard sell, so we'll see. Shane on his way out, he kind of acted like he was a couple months ago. All right, best match, I'm with Guido and Moscow.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. And then I went the Rotten Balls tag,
yep.
I guess is
yeah.
Yep.
Best moment, Taz and Candido destroying Chetty. That was great.
Yep.
Yes.
Most 90s, I went Taz's black White Sox jersey. That thing was everywhere in the 90s.
Yes,
the black
that's what
shirt.
I had too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was incredibly 90s. Stock Rising went Credible and Storm. FBI, Taka, Tajiri. All pretty good.
Look, Guido.
Falling. Yeah, Guido. Yep. Well, FBI. I had FBI. Falling in with Chetty, Nova, Sign Guy, Axel. All kind of had tough nights.
Yeah.
Final grade, I went 6.5 out of 10. A little bit of a step back from the last few episodes. You know, I thought it was fine as a go home. Like, I thought the end sell by Joey was good. We kind of hit some of the big tenets on this episode heading into the pay-per-view. You know, I guess we get some open questions, right? Will Axel and Balls be there? Will Candido put up any kind of fight? Is Shane's last pay-per-view? So a lot of stuff cooking.
What about Sabu?
Sabu, will he be there? So,
I'm at you guys 6.5.
I went 6 on it.
All right, so we are on the doorstep. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Hardcore Heaven 1999. Exciting times, another pay-per-view lined up for us. The build's been pretty good. We seem pretty excited for it, I think, given the comments.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, be sure to subscribe, YouTube, podcast apps, social media. Don't miss any of it. North South Connection, taking it right through the spring, summer, through it all. Thank you for all the success during WrestleMania season, all the support you brought us. We appreciate it. Live your life extremely extreme. My notebook and Cairo, what the great God from Egypt manifest was right, rhymes line with the stars. I'll come back to bless the mic. I control the crowd, you know, I hold it down. When it drop, you know, it's jiggy when you hear the sound from town to town until it's world renowned. And I rock New York City all year round. I control the crowd, you know, I hold it down. When it drop, you know, it's jiggy when you hear the sound from town to town until it's world renowned. And I rock New York City all year round. I'm a law, the microphone fiend is back, you know what I mean? To death do us part. It's on. We'll be right back.